This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Moving along on this Wednesday morning, we're going to talk to Ronald Serpas. We come back, professor of practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD superintendent. We'll take a look back at the Super Bowl, look ahead to Mardi Gras, talk about crime in the city. Then we're going to talk to Meg Faris. Had an interesting story on Channel 4 last night, President Trump talking about declassifying records about JFK's assassination, and she did a story about some local links here. And you know, if you know anything about the history, you know that New Orleans did play a role in that. So a lot coming up. Stay with us. Tommy Tucker, WWL. It is 8:15 on Wednesday morning. That's usually when we talk to Ronald Serpas, professor of practice in the Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD chief, head of the Washington State Police, Nashville City Police, and more. And today is no exception. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I am good, Tommy. How are you?
I'm all right. You know what I want to ask you about? Just as in a football game, coaches look at and see things that fans don't. When it comes to the security preparations and the execution of the security during the Super Bowl game and all the festivities and celebrations, did you see stuff that we didn't notice, stuff that we don't know that was going on behind the scenes, and anybody that you wanted to recognize or anything like that?
No, I don't think I saw anything. I do think that it's important that it's a massive undertaking by several different agencies. The police department in New Orleans is dramatically understaffed, and therefore the assistance of other local agencies in the St. Tammany Sheriff, Jefferson Parish, and police departments and the feds was just obviously orchestrated, I think, very well. Secondly, when you do the post, you know, when you do an after action on these kind of reports, my experience has been most of the problems you see are issues of collaboration and time on task kind of things, which really go unnoticed by the public. And then third, you know, it's always a funny thing, Tommy, no matter how many police you have in the public doesn't usually see as many as there really are, which is why we went to the reflective vest when I was superintendent, and people all over the country do that. But I think any police department in a major event should take advantage of all the officers wearing those reflective vests so citizens can see them. And then other officers can see where their help is immediately. And then finally, there'll be some after actions done with probably the lead of the Department of Homeland Safety, not the New Orleans Police Department, and all the federal agencies as they collaborated with local and state. So good news is you don't see anything went wrong publicly, but that doesn't mean there was some, you know, back of house kind of stuff that you would like to do differently next time. You can always learn.
So what's been going on with crime outside of the Super Bowl in the city?
It seems that it's kind of stabilized from it was last year. You don't really read a lot in the newspaper. The only thing I would remind us all is that about 7 out of 10 Americans get crime news from friends, family, and neighbors. They don't get it from news. They get it from their friends, families, and neighbors. So as long as we're seeing positive movement in people's perception that they're safer in the city, Tommy, that is far more important than any government data will ever be. far more important. I guess it's kind of like in your business. You know, you have a rating mechanism that tells you how you're doing, and you also know what you hear when you walk the street. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of similarities with policing and crime, except when you walk the street in policing and crime, that's far more important than crime data.
One thing I wanted to tell you is when it comes to archer barriers, I can tell you they work mm-hmm. because I had a mishap on my patio over the weekend with the riding lawnmower where I knocked over the barbecue pit. It is a true story. I'm not kidding you, Chief. And a patio chair got in the way and stopped my lawnmower before it went into the den, which is where it was not crashed through the French doors on the patio into the den, which is not where it was supposed to go. And I wanted to ask you about these archer barriers and the other things that are planned for Mardi Gras. How confident are you that Mardi Gras is going to be safe this year? As safe as it can be.
Right. I think if I'd have showed up at your house, the first thing I would have done is a field sobriety test to see if you've been drinking.
No, it was fine. I was hot and was in a hurry to get in and watch the Super Bowl. That's all it was.
Well, I think the archer barriers, as they are designed, offer some level of protection because it rolls up underneath the car. And my understanding is those things weigh several hundred pounds. Mm-hmm. So it would likely have some kind of effect. I understand, as I think you and I've talked about before, safety in a place like New Orleans that has a tourist need, a business need, and a residential need, and the uniqueness of, you know, 40 blocks of Mardi Gras is clearly a challenge, right? The parade route runs downtown on one side of St. Charles, and the uptown side of St. Charles is open to traffic. All those cross streets. So it'll be interesting to see what people come up with as solutions that maybe we haven't thought about before, which would be wonderful. On the other hand, the people of New Orleans have to be able to extend, the people of New Orleans have to mediate between those three purposes, tourism, businesses, residents. They all have a right to sit at the table and say, how are we going to operate as a city? How can we make Mardi Gras as safe as we possibly can? Just keep learning. I mean, there's so much open space on that parade route that I don't really understand yet how that could all be closed off. You know, Tommy, this isn't about other cities, but you hear other cities say, well, we put cement trucks on every intersection. But that's probably because they have one parade once a year, mm-hmm. or New Year's Eve is one night a year. You and I have talked about this before. I have a lot of friends in New York. I've been to New York. You don't get to walk the streets of Times Square every night of the year, do you?
Nope.
But Bourbon Street, you walk every night of the year. During Mardi Gras, you have 11 days of season and probably 7 days of parades where people are accustomed to being wide open on the street. I think we should always listen to other people's points of view, but there's a lot to be considered about how it could possibly change.
Yeah, wide open on the street, and you got to get it back, you know, traffic moving again hours after the parade and all day long, and then shut it down again for that night. And I don't know how.
And then the trash pickup, right? You have the army of trash pickup trucks, and then you have been in New Orleans all your life, like me. Every Mardi Gras, there's going to be a series of parades where floats break down.
Yep.
And you got to get the bigger trucks in to move them in and out. So shutting off all access to the parade route to vehicles begins to have significant issues of consequences that are unexpected when you have such a long parade route versus other cities that may have parades, but they may not be the same. But they may be doing something we can learn from. So I'm thinking that's a good thing.
Yeah, let me take a break. We'll come back, talk about that with the Sear One event. Who listens to whom and who understands what? And hopefully both sides are listening to each other and, okay, you should do this. Yeah, but we can't do that because of this. Well, what about this? Well, maybe. We'll also talk about promotions and NOPD and what's happened there. 821 traffic now, WWL.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, 826 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Ronald Surpass, professor of practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD chief and a well-respected expert on law enforcement around the country. Chief, so I'm trying to figure out what happened with the promotions here and why they were paused. And this is my take. You can tell me if I'm right or not. They gave the tests. The list came out. Mayor Cantrell didn't like whose name was on it, so she said, we need to look into this. Then they checked into it and they said, no, everything's fine, whether you like the names or not. And this was not the way it was phrased, but whether you like the names or not, the tests were fair and we move on with this. Is that accurate or not?
Well, I don't know if it's accurate, Tommy, but I can guarantee you that's what every police officer paying attention to this thinks exactly what happened.
Okay.
It was a bad look for the superintendent. It was a bad look for the mayor. To have the federal judge come back in and kind of reorder the house was, an embarrassment for all involved. The men and women who are waiting for promotions, that involves their lives, their pensions, their families, their friends, their careers. And it felt like from the very beginning that the decisions were being made external to the police department, had no second thought at all what was going on inside the police department. And Tommy, the second thing, and look, I think people being promoted is one of the most exciting parts of being the chief. But guess what? They still run this police department with staffing and buildings like it had 1,600 people 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have 1,600 people anymore. Why do they continue to staff buildings and staff positions as if they were still 1,600 people? It just doesn't make sense for the citizen. But having people get promoted is an important thing. If they need them, they should do it. But the way you described it, Tommy, is what I heard from tens of officers and people who heard the exact same thing, and that's what they believe, and I don't think you can change their mind.
So at least it's moving forward now, right?
Looks like it, yes. It looks like it is, and there'll be some decisions made on promoting people, and we wish those folks the best because it's a trickle-down effect. If you promote a captain, that means a lieutenant's going to get promoted. If you promote a lieutenant, that means a sergeant's going to get promoted. Part of retention is a reliable promotional process, and this whole debacle since last October makes people feel that the promotion process isn't reliable, and that's not good for retention. The mayor publicly or not publicly, or the chief publicly or not publicly, over watching this issue, sent some tremors in the department, and let's hope it moves forward quickly.
Thank you, Chief. I appreciate your time. Any final thoughts on anything?
Throw me something, mister.
There you go. You can't wait for Mardi Gras. I don't see any. That's what I want to ask you real quick, getting back to what I said before the break, about a SEER 1 event where, tell me exactly what that means, and I guess Bratton is still involved with Mardi Gras or not. Where do we stand on all of that?
Local reports would suggest that they're still involved with Mardi Gras. Look forward to seeing what they have to say. The SEER 1 event is a national declaration that involves all federal agencies in a law enforcement and attendant relationships to participate in the development of a security and execution of a security plan for a major event like a Super Bowl or an Olympics or something like that. it brings together the amount of resources that the federal government has, which dwarfs a state or a city. And then the city, state, and the feds work out a collaborative plan based on their expertise, their equipment, the state's expertise, its equipment, and the city's expertise and its equipment. And it's like a big concert band. Everybody has to go in the same direction. And who's the conductor? Oftentimes it is the local chief. Sometimes it's going to be someone in the governor's office, depending upon issues. And it's always going to be in collaboration with the feds. It's a good thing. It's a good thing.
All right. Thank you, Chief. Appreciate it. Ronald Surpass, Professor of Practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD Chief. I saw Meg Faris on WWL TV last night talking about President Trump and releasing files, classified files on a JFK assassination. And she talked to some local links to that. And I thought it was fascinating. She's going to join us when we come back. 8:31. Time now for... As I fight a sneeze there, 8:31, time for WWL First News. Good morning and hello again, everyone. Tommy Tucker, and we are underway. At least the fortified roof lottery is underway. It opened up this morning at 8 o'clock, and it's not like last time where you got to rush up and get in before the website crashes, first in wins, nothing like that. Tim Temple is going to join us tomorrow to talk more about it, but it's open until 5 p.m. on Sunday. And you register, and then they have a lottery to see who gets the grants. You can apply for a $10,000 grant through the Louisiana Fortify Homes Program, and you can find out everything you need to know by going to ldi.la.gov/fortifyhomes. ldi.la.gov/fortifyhomes, and you can see what it takes if you can qualify for a grant and then get registered for the lottery. We come back, we'll talk to Meg Faris, WWL TV, about a release of JFK classified files by President Trump and what kind of New Orleans connection that could have. It's going to be interesting. Stay with us, WWL. 8:54, 6 till 9. Hopefully, Meg Faris joins us now, WWL Louisiana medical reporter. How you doing, Meg?
I'm here, Tommy.
Meg, with the trouble we had, I thought that maybe somehow they had gotten to you with the JFK story, and we all know who they are, right?
Well, I hope we're going to find out who they are. But, you know, Tommy, something hit me yesterday when I did this story. Remember the movie JFK?
Sure.
Oliver Stone moved here to New Orleans. They did the story, and I mean the movie, and I realized that was like 35 years ago, and that brought the whole conspiracy theory that our district attorney, Jim Garrison, had believed had happened with the JFK assassination. That brought it back to the forefront for a lot of us. But I realized a lot of my coworkers were either not born or
not here,
just little children,
yep.
And they don't even remember the movie about the conspiracy.
Oh, come on.
You know, so no, they don't.
Well, let me tell you this, Meg. Talk about that, how time flies. You know, Matt Mock, the LSU quarterback, 2003 national championship, he turns 46 today.
Boy, is that old.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, but you understand what I'm saying about time flying.
Yes.
And about the Oliver Stone movie, some of us may or may not have been very young when all of this was going on and didn't quite understand what was going on with Jim Garrison. But tell me what your story was about yesterday, because I found it fascinating. I really do.
Yes, and I wish I had more than 2 minutes to tell the story. So I realized that when President Trump
You got four.
When President Trump signed the release, signed the executive order that the JFK, RFK, and Martin Luther King assassination papers all needed to be released, I started thinking New Orleans was almost a bigger player in this whole thing than Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I've got to find the people who are still here. And I started calling people and asking, and a friend of mine said, well, so-and-so is no longer here, and so-and-so is here, but in a assisted living and wouldn't be able to talk. So, but I found people. I found Judge Stephen Plotkin, who is retired, but he's writing his memoir, and he was in Jim Garrison's office as a young district attorney, assistant district attorney, and then he was private practice defending some of the people accused. And then I found a friend of Clay Shaw's, who was accused, tried, and acquitted of part of the conspiracy. And then I got Rosemary James, who covered the Clay Shaw trial, but I'm going to get her in another story. Our schedules didn't match.
She worked for Channel 4, right? If I remember right.
You know, she worked for the States Item, the newspaper. I don't know if she ever worked for Channel 4, and I should.
I think she did.
Okay.
Not that I'm old enough to remember that, Meg, but...
You're probably right. Probably right. But anyway, so it's just very... What I learned yesterday was, when all this conspiracy was going on, just the time. I mean, Stephen Plotkin said that he had to hire bodyguards and would get hang-up phone calls saying... threatening him and anti-Semitic phone calls because, you know, there were a lot of theories that the CIA was involved. There were theories that the mafia was involved. And so are we going to learn all this when all these documents are released? Now, the reason I did the story yesterday was because the FBI has come out and said they have found 2,400 new files pertaining to the JFK assassination. They're digitizing them, and they're going to be part of what's going to be released. So will we know, Tommy? It's fascinating to me.
I think that every time I pass, when I come to work, I go down Camp Street, and I think about the historical significance of the addresses there. And, of course, Oliver Stone did move here, and he did make up a lot of stuff in that movie that a lot of people think are true. Or... did he? I don't know. But I tell you what I found interesting was what Clay Shaw's friend had to say. And tell me that story, if you will, please.
Well, okay. So she says he absolutely was not involved. He was a lovely person. And she hopes this exonerates him. Of course, she said he's buried in a Kentwood cemetery. But she said, and I'd never heard this word before. She said in 1954, there was something called a Lavender Scare. There was a law passed that gay people could not work in government. And she said she believes that he was targeted because he was gay. And so, you see, there's layers and layers and layers. You know, there's mafia conspiracy, CIA conspiracy. Were these people used as scapegoats because, you know, they were gay and the Lavender Scare at the time. It is just so intertwined and so fascinating.
But I know you're gonna follow it all, and I hope you can come back and talk about it as some of these things come uncovered. Meg Farris, thank you as always. We'll take a break. Come back, talk about the Saints' new head coach.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.